messed up because they never learn to follow. Never. Or maybe I can say seldomly learn to follow. And I want to say here up front, if we didn't learn to follow, we're going to mess up in the churches where God's going to place us. We're going to mess the church up where we're going. I want you to think about that. And I know what I'm talking about. This is something that I talk from, out of my own experience and what happens to me out of this portion in my life. The first point, number 16, verse 2. If you read verse 1, you find names. Korah, the son of Ishar, sorry for the pronunciations. And there's Dathan and Abiram, some Reubenites. These men are cousins. These men are familiar with each other. Some of them are far distant cousins of each other. It's family. It's friends. It's, you know, we are familiar with one another. We can say we are buddies. We know each other. We came from the same place, the same community. So these men that is being called here, if you read before chapter 16 from Exodus, then you find how God took these men and gave them divine appointments and appoint them in the tabernacle, and we will come there in places that suits them with their abilities, with their skills, with their personality. God placed them in different offices, if I can call it offices. Places where it was his desire, because these men have that ability, have that potential. And he placed them there. But there's something wrong that happens here. Verse 2 come and say that these same men come and rose up. They become, verse 1 say, insolent. They became domineering. They became haughty. I hope I pronounced that word right. They became arrogant. They became self-centered, full of themselves. They want to, you know, they appoint themselves and they gang up. My first point of self-appointed leadership is someone, he is the instigator that others will rise up against leadership that exist. In other words, there will be someone who's going to gang up with people and go to people who are like-minded like him, or he's going to even influence them to be like-minded like he is, to go up against the leadership. So he's going to recruit among the people men that will raise up with him against leadership. He will not go down by himself. He will nyap-nyap here, nyap-nyap there, and make the people negative, and they gang together against leadership. Doesn't matter where, it can be in our setup here, in your church, or in your work where you work outside there, whatsoever. Even in the family, you also get that. So someone will come and be the instigator. I said, yeah, and they rose up, that is what I said, with some of the children of Israel. How many men? 250 men, leaders of the congregation, men that has been appointed by the council. Listen, the council was Moses and the 70 elders that was been chosen by God. When Jethro come and said to Moses, it's not good for you to counsel, 3 million people. Man, you're going to stand forever in that queue, wait for your time. You might die in that queue. And then God, through the mouth of his father-in-law, tell Moses, this is not right what you do. You can't take all that burden, all that responsibility on yourself. Choose 70 wise men, men that is God-fearing, God-honoring, and who fear God. Choose them, and let they be also counsel and appoint men to them. You only handle those that is in, you know, those crisis and trauma counseling and all that. Wow, and it went well. And out of those men, those 70 men, they choose 250 men also to help them. Leaders, leaders known by them. It's not just every Tom, Dick and Harry is not going to be choose to be a leader. No, people that is known by the leadership who can be a leader. I want you to see the process. And many times if you are not chosen to be a leader, it means nobody see any leadership there. They see rebellion. They see this insolent, this domineering attitude, this Absalom spirit. And you know what is the difference between a Jezebel spirit and an Absalom spirit. A Jezebel spirit, someone with that, is someone that will don't want to get rid of the king, but he's going to use the king's influence to get what she wants. Absalom, on the other side, wants the king out of the way so that he can be the king. Because I can do it better than the king. And if you read his story, you will find it. Where he said, oh, the king, David, is not here now in the gates, you know, the city gates where all the elders sit and the king is there to counsel you. But I am here. I will do to you what the king lacks. And he won their favor. He won them by talking to their heart deceitfully because he gathered for him an army to gang up against the king. Self-appointed leader, Absalom. And many have that spirit in her. Many. I want the leadership out of the way. I can do it better than them. So I will start instigating. And I'm going to recruit them. Doesn't matter your age. Doesn't matter your color. I will recruit you. And it's not long. I change your mind. How easy is it in our context to do that, eh? How easy is that? I don't like this or that leader, and I'm going to gang up against. The first thing, they rose up. And that word means, listen to this, what that word rose up means, or that gang up, as I call it, with shamelessness. That is what that word means. Shamelessness. Respectless. I disregard you. Can I give another word? I define you. Do you know what the word define means? Simple English word, I challenge your authority. I said one day that many times we redefine God. And I asked the question early in that message, if we do that, and I think all of us in their hearts, you know, I don't redefine God. But here's the thing, many did. Because the moment I do not obey God, I define him. I do not submit under your authority, especially if it is delegated by a leader or someone have to come and tell me that I will not do it. Who are you? I redefine God. I want you to think about it. I challenge your authority. I'm stronger than you. I will do it my way. You can take the highway. I will not submit. But we can easily sing, praise the Lord, hallelujah, hosanna. We can jambulani like we just see dust in this place. But I define God. That happens in the church. Self-appointed. No wonder the church of God is in such a mess. People are in offices where they are not supposed to be. Maybe they pay a lot of money and they make friends with whosoever because they have contacts, you know? Yeah, they instigate and gang up. Get myself a congregation together. Numbers 27. I want you to go there if you can. Because here is a group in number 16 that gang up against Moses. And it is the negative part of it. And everything is negative here. They gang up 250 Israel, well-known community leaders. They are appointed by the members of the council. They came as a group opposing Moses. And they say to them, wow. But in Numbers 27, something else is there. I want you to see the positive part of ganging up, if I can call it gang up. The heading of my Bible says, forgive my pronunciation of this huge name, Zelophehad's daughters. Now, I want you on one side, Korah and his gang. And I want you to see the daughters of Zelophehad. This is also a group of women. This is a group of men. Here comes a group of of women. Now I'm going to read something here now out of Numbers 27 that has been mentioned about Numbers chapter 16. And at the end of the day, if you read Numbers 16, what we read, how God dealt very severe with Korah and his gang, I want you to see how God dealt here with this woman, also coming up to Moses and Aaron. But I want you to see two different hearts, two different attitudes, two different responses. And this one, the daughters of Zelophehad, son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, belonged to the clans of Manasseh, son of Joseph. The names of the daughter were Mahla, Noah, Mohla, Milka, and Tirzah. But listen to this. They approached the entrance to the tent of meeting and stood before Moses. How many were there? There's a few of them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 of them. Korah, he and his gang, 250 plus. Their 3 is, 253. With all, then it is not even mentioned their families, the number of that. But listen to this. Here comes these ladies. They approached the entrance to the tent of meeting and stood before Moses, Eleazar the priest, the leaders and the whole assembly, and said, the same as Korah, the whole. It means through the whole of Israel and their leadership. We have a voice. We want to tell you something. We want to say something. And listen to this. Verse 3. Our father died in the desert. He was not among Korah's followers who band together against the Lord. But he died for his own sin and left no sons. Why should our father's name disappear from his clan because he had no sons? Give us property among our father's relatives. So Moses brought their case before the Lord, and the Lord said to him, what Zelophehad's daughters are saying is right. Wow, it's right. You may certainly give them property as an inheritance among their father's relatives and turn their father's inheritance over to them. Say to the Israelites, if a man, and here comes like a new principle, a new decree from the Lord. Say to the Israelites, if a man dies and leaves no son, in other words, he don't have any sons, only daughters, turn his inheritance over to his daughters. If he has no daughter, give his inheritance to his brothers. If he has no brothers, give his inheritance to his father's brothers. If his father had no brothers, give his inheritance to the nearest relative in his clan. Then he may possess it. This is to be a legal requirement for the Israelites, as the Lord commanded Moses. Here is these ladies. Their father died. The land is busy being distributed to all the clans of Israel, to the fathers and to their sons. But these ladies, they have no brother. They have no father anymore. So their portion is going to be maybe given to someone else. And we only ask, like David, give to me that what belongs to us. And they decide. He said, I want that land and I want this and I want to do that. I don't want that. Give to us our father's inheritance. Give us something so that we can, you know, continue with our inheritance and our bloodline can continue. And Moses bring it to the Lord. Lord, here's a request. You see the difference between Korah and his gang and this lady and her sisters. We don't want an office. It is just we also don't want to fade away and not be remembered anymore among Israel. God looked at the heart and he granted them a request been given to them. No fight, no quarrel. Even if the Lord should say no, I think they will accept it. It's hard to accept especially if God say no. But not so with Korah, not so with them. So I want you to take note, if someone come up to you and try to make you negative, there's something cooking, because there's a hidden agenda here. And Moses exposed that. You see, because Korah became so spiritual, he became so as if he cared, you know? Because he say here, in the second point, he criticized or insult and questioned Moses' leadership. A self-appointed person will do that. He will criticize openly or insulted and question existing leadership. How did he do that? Well, verse 3 says, they came as a group to oppose Moses and Aaron and said to them, you have gone too far. The whole community is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is with them. Why then do you set yourself above the Lord's assembly? Who put you in charge there? We are all holy. We are the Levites, and the Levites must be holy to work in a tabernacle with the instruments and the offerings and the sacrifices of God. They have to be consecrated every day. They are holy, just like the rest of the nation, just like Moses and Aaron, consecrated to God. But that is not, when you read it, it looks like you've gone too far. Korah is after something. He's after the leadership, because he wants to be that. He wants to be the leader. And he will make sure that he get it. So he's going to try and camouflage the heart, that no one will know the motive of his heart. But God knows that. You know, in Exodus chapter 19, verse 6, the Bible say, you know, where God said to Moses, and it is not that Korah lied, it did speak the truth, because Exodus 19 verse 6, because Korah said, all of us, the whole community is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is with them. That's the truth, because it has been said in Exodus 19 verse 6, you will be for me a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation, talking to the Levites, talking to Moses, and say, all of you I have chosen out of all the nations of this world to be holy unto me. All of you as a nation are holy unto me. I chosen you. I choose you. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. You are all mine. All of us belong to him, says God. All of you. Not only a selected amount of people in Israel belongs to me. He said, no, all of you. You know, I said to you, we were equally qualified to present offerings on the altar. That is what Korah actually wants to come and say, Moses, you are going too far. We are just as qualified as you to go to the altar. That's true, but it's very dangerous, because you are actually guilty for the same thing that you are accusing me. How many that you ever heard somebody accusing you and you know that you are not guilty, and actually that person is guilty of the things that he accused you? How many times I saw that and hear that people accuse others, but he himself or she herself stand behind the door. Now all the eyes are now on Moses. Yeah, yeah, Moses, who put you there? We are just as good as you. We can do that. That's no big deal. You know, I can play the guitar better than you. I know that. I will not fight with that. I can play the keyboard better. I know that. I can sing better than though some of them even sing false. I know that. You are not called to that. Did you know that? You didn't been called to pick up that guitar and play. You are not called to take over on that keyboard. Did you know that? Even though you can do that better than them. And you can criticize them. It's how they do it in a church, isn't it? I was a pastor of a church nearly 12 years. I know that. I was also in a band in our congregation. The greatest battle in the enemy like is there in the worship team. If he can get them all mixed up and so disunited, there's no unity and they can fight one another, then he win. We are not ignorant of his schemes. And I know that it's, for some it's too loud and for some it's too soft and some don't even know where they are, in the middle or where. I know that too. And I also are so confident that God knows that too. And I know that when we are there, and for those people who are there, they don't do it for the congregation, they do it for God. Because they feel God called them to do that. Now they criticize. Or another ministry in the church. Maybe children's ministry, maybe women's ministry. Maybe the eldership. I can be a better elder than that. A man walked up one day to me, "You want to see me?" And I was on time for my appointment. And he told me that I pay, you say. "Oh, since when that you bought me? Since when that you call me? You call me? No. Keep your money. God has called me. He didn't call me by the majority of election in the church. I was not a son of a preacher. I was a learner miner looking behind the sheep there in the mine where God called me. Keep your money. God don't need it. Oh, my wife can preach better than you. Well, it might be so, but she's not called to that office. Oh, my wife is too lenient with the ladies in the church. She can do a much better job than her. Give that office to her." And I said to him, "God don't need a dictator." He said, "Learn of me. Come learn from me. I'm meek and lowly of heart." He took his money and he took his wife and he left. And God blessed the church. You don't own the church. You see, you want to be self-appointed because money talks. And you can criticize as much as you want. You don't criticize me, you criticize God. I'm not God. You criticize the one who appointed me there, or those who God appointed there. So I will gang up, and we're going to start criticizing for the things that we are actually guilty ourselves. Are we like that? I want you to take this because there's still three other points and I will truly come there. Where do I find myself? Am I happy where God has placed me? And if I take our context here, where do you find yourself? Are you Quora? That you're busy ganging up against the leadership that God has placed over you? You can't accept them, you can't bend and bow to their authority, then you do not respect or love God. You can say whatever you like. Your attitude against authority reflects your relationship with God. And maybe that's a shocker, eh? Are you criticize the leadership wherever God has placed you, wherever you worship? You are not criticize them. You criticize God for placing him there or her there. Wherever you are, even in your workplace, if you never learn to follow, you're going to mess the church of God up. The place where you're going to work, wherever you got the job, you're going to mess it up because you seldomly learn to follow. Before you can lead, you have to first lead yourself and learn to follow those who lead. You know, one day someone said, "You can see if you are a leader. Just look around, look behind you. If there's no one, you are just out on a stroll. That's all." So ask yourself this question. Am I Quora that I'm busy getting Dayton, Datan and Abiram and getting people together? Am I busy criticizing what God has placed over me? Can I submit? Am I guilty myself of the things that I accuse someone else. If this is true, we're going to see what will be the ending of such a person. You will never experience the blessing of God. You will never be endowed with authority. Never. I want to say never, because it's just like that. Because there's a thing that God can't endow us with authority if we can't submit ourselves under authority. We can't. He can't. And right through life is like that. How will you feel if your children, when you got children, are rebellious against you? And they do not submit to your authority. Maybe you are a bad example for them. That's why they are rebellious. Can be one of the reasons. No, you want your children, I want my children, to obey what I say. And sometimes I don't have to give them a reason, but they can trust me. And I want them to trust me. And I want to trust them. So you can ask yourself, where are you? And may God help us if we have an Kura spirit in us, that we will take it to Him and get rid of that and start submitting. And then there's something that we will start reflecting. Even Jesus, when He was 12 years old, He submit Himself, the Bible say, unto His parents. And He was obedient to them. The God-man. What an example. What an example. Let us follow rather that. May God help us really in every sphere of life, not just in the church. May God bless us. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, I know that this is one of those tough principles. Oh, this one, I don't want to say it's one of the seven deadliest sin, but if we can boil it down, pride is one of the seven deadliest sin. And that is what happens here too. I pray for each and every one who hear my voice, Lord. And I believe that the Spirit of God has put His finger on stuff in our lives. If we didn't learn to follow, we're going to mess the church up. So many people find them in leadership roles, Lord. Leading. The blind leading the blind because they didn't learn to follow. Forgive us, we want to push ourselves in places where You didn't call us to be. And oops, don't pay the bill, because it is God's church that we messed up. Many people, Lord, I think at this moment don't want to go to church because of a person, a member or a leader of some church, Lord, that was disregard actually God by their attitudes towards other members. So deal with us in this area of self-appointed leadership. Deal severely. Here's my own heart. Prune to wonder, says that song. Take it and seal it. Never wander off again to submit and to renounce those things that bring division and form cliques. It's not new here in the Old Testament. Even there in the New Testament, some say, I'm from this, I'm from Paul, Apollos, I'm from Cephas, I'm from Christ. So divided is the church because of the cliques and the gangs that they form. So this is not new. So Lord, even Satan in heaven did that. So come and deal with us and forgive us and cleanse us from this and help us to continue with You in Jesus' name.